Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Two men sat at a bar. They didn't know each other, but they talked anyway, as they sometimes do. They talked about everything. They talked about fishing. They talked about hunting. They talked about sports, at least the best as they could. Got into a good old baseball rivalry. You know, the old Cubs-Cardinal thing. Come back at them again. They talked for what seemed like forever. They even got to the topic of cars, an interest for both gentlemen. And the one guy kept looking over at the other, and he kept saying to himself, "I know that face. I know it. I know this person. I just can't quite pinpoint it." You guys have been there before. You recognize somebody, but you can't quite pinpoint. Where did you see him? Where was it? And finally, as they entered into the conversation about cars, it dawned on him. This man sitting next to him was a world-famous race car driver, and he recognized him because he saw him just a few times on television. You don't see race car drivers a lot of times on TV, but he saw this one just a couple times. And so he kind of asked the question, right? The money question. How'd you do it? How did you become a world-class race car driver? What are the steps that you got to go through? And so the driver began to talk, and he kind of said, "Well, you know, when I was a boy, I used to sit on the fender of the car, and my dad would work on cars. And then, you know, as I got a little older, as I became a teenager, I was just fascinated by how cars ran." And the guy stopped him and said, "Look, I don't want to know your history. Like, I don't want to know your whole life story. Just tell me the steps. What's the procedure? What's step one in becoming a world-class race car driver?" And the driver was dumbfounded. He didn't know how to go on. He didn't know how to answer the man's question. I mean, to him, that history, that whole thing, him raising and being and growing up working on God, that was all part of it. That was all part of what made him who he was. And so he didn't know how to reply. He didn't know how to answer. Throughout the summer, we've been going through the book of Romans, and we finally made it, everybody. We finally made it to chapter 10. And in this chapter, Paul kind of summarizes salvation, and then he kind of moves on. And for really one of the first times in the book, he really kind of lays it down. He says, "Look, as Christians, you guys need to be doing this." And there's a temptation when we come across a verse like this, when we come across several verses like this. And the temptation is to forget all the stuff that kind of came before it, like the two gentlemen at the bar talking and trying to understand the procedures. We're tempted to forget that Paul has spent the last 9 chapters building and getting to this point where he can say, "This is your job, Christians, to go out and spread the good news." We forget those 9 chapters that Paul spent talking about all of the things going on. He starts by talking about how we are all sinners and that we all fall short. He talks about how we shouldn't be intentionally sinning and how as Christians we have been baptized into Christ Jesus. And through that baptism, we have a death like His and therefore we have a life like His. Christ's death becomes our death and His life becomes our life. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. But you know what? That sin in our lives, it just keeps coming back and it's a struggle that we constantly have. However, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we cling in faith to the very cross of Christ, and in that faith, we are more than conquerors. And in fact, our Heavenly Father will let nothing snatch us out of His hand. Nothing. And in chapter 9, Paul begins down this road talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of scandalous. You know, we barely talked about it last week. We only really had one verse of a stretch of 20 verses where Paul talks about the working of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of scandalous. It actually, at the end of our text last week, in the book of Romans chapter 9, Paul writes, "Before they were born, before they could do good or bad, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated." There's a scandal there, isn't there? This is a scandal as the Holy Spirit works. And Paul continues on by saying the Holy Spirit does what it wills and it goes where it wants. It does what it wills. And this whole time, Paul keeps bringing back the Holy Spirit brings about faith. You see, we have this temptation to think that it's really all about our decision and it's all about how we make that call and who persuades who. When in reality, Paul reminds us over and over again, it's the Holy Spirit that brings us to faith. It's the Holy Spirit that gives to us faith, that same faith that clings to the cross of Christ. And it's in that faith that we have salvation, both Jew and Gentile, saving and being saved through the work of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. And then Paul continues in our chapter today. You, as Christians, now have a job. All of those things, all that foundation built up to say that you guys have a job. We have a message to give. We have a message to deliver. And there's power in that message. I mean, look again at those words of Paul towards the end of our text for today. Faith comes by hearing, and how can they hear if you do not tell them? And think about that. This whole time we've been talking about how the Holy Spirit brings about faith, and now Paul is saying that they get faith by hearing. Which means the Holy Spirit works through you. And it works through that message that you have, that you carry, that message of the gospel, that message, Christ's words given to you, that you may carry them on, that you may tell other people about Jesus, that you may tell other people about the salvation and the good news of all that Jesus has done. The message that's also the message for us. That Jesus died on the cross, that He forgives us our sins, that salvation, that reconciliation with our Heavenly Father is all done through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that message is ours now to go out and to tell others. For how can they hear if no one tells them? And beautiful are the feet of those who carry this beautiful message. This message of God's love. God's love for you and God's love for them. How can they hear if no one tells them? So let us go. Let us go and tell others all the good news of Jesus. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, please stand as we join in prayer, confessing our sins before God, our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before You this day, Lord, because we are sinful and unclean. We have sinned in so many ways. We have sinned in our thoughts. We have sinned in our words. We have sinned in our deeds. And we ask, Lord, that You would forgive us for the sake of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we confess our sins before You in a brief moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for the sake of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in